God has been good to us and blessed us once again. And you know, you should never tire of saying that God has been good to us, because He has. And once you get to the point where you don't want to admit that God has been good to you, something is wrong. Once you don't want to admit that God is our Savior and God is our Keeper, something is wrong. But as long as God has allowed you to have breath in your body, you ought to be willing to say, thank God, and God is good. This morning, Brother Burnside read for your hearing from the first book of John. If I told him Peter, that was my fault, but if I didn't, that was his fault. But nevertheless, we got it straight. And no matter where you read God's word from, you can't go wrong. So we got it together. But from the first book of John, the book of 1 John, chapter 1, starting at verses 7 and going through the couple of verses through to verse 9. So this morning, let us take a moment and go to God in prayer. Our Lord and our God, which art in heaven, we thank you, O Lord, not thanking you so much, Father, because of who you are, but for what you did, who you are, and what you are to us. Thank you, O Lord. Thank you that this is a day that we've never seen before, O Lord. Thank you for the blessings of last night, because we slept and slumbered. We slumbered and slept, O Lord, and you watched over us. But then, Father, soon as the morning, the dawn came, you awakened us gently, O Lord. You allowed us to roll our feet out on the floor. You allowed us to open our eyes. And you allowed us to move about that we may get ready to come from our house unto your house. We thank you this morning, and we ask you, Father, if it be your will, that you would continue to bless us. And we do realize that there are some sick among us, O Lord, and so we're praying for them. Namely, Sister Dorothy Welch this morning, we're praying for her, O Heavenly Father, as she is in the hospital, from my understanding that I got this morning. And we thank you, O Lord, that all of the members here may be on the side of prayer and be on your side, O Lord, that they may pray for her. And we pray for all of those that are sick. We thank you, O Lord, that you have allowed us to be able to call upon you. You have given us that privilege and that opportunity. You may helped us to make our way out here this morning, Lord, and we thank you for that. We thank you for the food that went into our bodies, the water that we drank this morning, if we drank water. And we thank you for the air that we breathe. And I know we've all breathed in some air this morning. We thank you, O Lord, and we continue to pray and ask you to bless us. We pray this morning, Father, for the church here on Stony Island, the Stony Island Church of Christ. We pray for the elders and their families, and we pray for the brethren and their families who have taken part in the services thus far. And we pray from this point on. O Heavenly Father, we thank you that this is a day that we can honor you and give praises and thanks unto you. And this is what our hope is that we're doing today, O Lord. And we pray that the things that we have done, the things we shall do, and the things that come from this point on will be pleasing and acceptable in thy sight. We thank you for each and every one here this morning, Father, and we're praying for those who are not here. If there may be some who may be on their way, we are praying that they get here safely. If there be those who are traveling today, Father, we pray for their safe passage as well. We pray for those both near and far, O Lord, that everything would be well with them. And we pray, Father, for those who are raising their children this morning. We just pray that everything would be well in the families around the world, O Lord. Then, my Heavenly Father, we pray for those who are not members of the Lord's body, those who have not had that opportunity to meet thee yet, O Lord. We just pray that if it be thy will, that you would give them a space and time that they may come into the light. Then, O Heavenly Father, we pray for the political leaders of this world, that they may come together and bring peace to a peace table and bring peace to this world. We pray not only for the worldwide leaders, but we pray for our local leaders and even down to our state, our city, and down to our own block, O Lord. We pray for peace in the neighborhoods. We pray, O Lord, and ask that you bind us up where we're weak at, and that you shore us up where we need strength at, O Lord, and give us that we may continue another day, O Lord. And then upon another day, O Lord, when this day has closed, We just pray that we can offer praises in your name once again and then be wakened in the morning after another night's sleep and give praises once again, O Lord. Help us to praise thee always, all the time, and for everything that you do for us, because you are in charge of it all, O Lord. Thank you, Father, for everything you do for us, and continue to watch over and keep us, Lord. It is in the name of your Son, Jesus, that we ask all these blessings. Let us all say, Amen. Most folks like to steer clear of talking on the subject of blood this morning. Blood symbolizes sickness, pain, and or injury. But God-fearing people know a little something different about blood. We know that we are here because of blood. We know that our salvation is because of blood. The blood of one Jesus Christ, the love of His Father, and the sacrifice at Calvary, and the blood that flows from His physical body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There are those who would say that's not true. There are those who would say it's impossible for blood to be so powerful. But I'd like for you to consider this, if you will. Without blood, our bodies could not survive. Without blood, our bodies become sick. If it's not healthy blood, our bodies become sick and run down. And even with blood being that important, only one had the power of saving us through the shedding of His own blood. Peter calls it the precious blood of Christ. This morning, if we can examine for a few minutes, His blood was enough. Today I would like to raise that question, was His blood or was the blood of Christ enough? Each and every one of us here today are living answers to that question. For if it had not been for the blood, we would not be here. The blood was and is enough. His blood is enough to save us as sinners or to save sinners. When you look at that first book of John, of the book of 1 John, and starting in verses number 7, the Bible says, "For if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Most folk don't view themselves as sinners. I'm going to say that again. Most folk don't view themselves as sinners. And yet the reason Jesus Christ came into this or onto this earth was because the world was running over with sin and sinners. All have been set in perspective when you look at the Bible and you read the account of Jesus Christ. When you look at the book of 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 15, the Bible says Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners. If there had been no sin and no sinners, then there would have been no need for a Savior. Am I right about it? If there had been no sin and no sinners, there would be no need for a Savior to come into this world. Isn't that right, church? Had the serpent not lied, had the woman not deceived, and had the man not partaken of the fruit, maybe we wouldn't have any sin. But all that happened. And just in case somebody needs to know just what sin is, let me just give you a general brief description of sin. Sin is a falling away or missing the right path. It's what Adam left upon the moral descendants of this life. He left us all in big trouble. That's what I'm trying to say to you. Someone may say, well, if God is the God of love, why does He hold it against us? Well, that's a good question. If God is the God of love, why does He hold it against us? And I'll tell you, because sin in itself is selfish. Sin in itself is put in front of God. And I want you to know something. That when we sin, it's usually for our own selfish reason. It's usually for a reason that we deem to be important. It's usually for a reason that we say that this is the way I want to do things. And then isn't that being selfish because you're going against what God teaches us in His Word? In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses number 4 and verse number 5, the Bible says, charity suffers long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth itself, not itself, and is not puffed up. Do not believe itself unseemly, seek not her own, and is easily, listen to this, is easily provoked, and thinketh no evil. So what are you trying to say? That if you put yourself first, you're going to be just the opposite of that scripture. You're probably going to think some evil thoughts from time to time. And let me tell you something, church. It doesn't take a lot to make most of us commit a sin. It doesn't take a whole lot for most of us to commit a sin. And I know there are those who will say, well, Brother Carter, you don't know what it takes for me to commit a sin. I got a general idea. You know, once you've been around for a little while, you can read people. Once you've been around for a little while, you've experienced enough in your lifetime to know other people's lifetime as well. Now, you don't know the intricate details of their lives, but you know what makes most people tick. And so when you think about it, it's self that gets in, that brings sin up. In other words, when we can keep self out of the way, we have a better chance of keeping sin away from us. So when we look out back at the blood of Jesus, we get a better picture of the question, is His blood enough? And to answer that question, I would tell you, yes, it was, and yes, it is. The blood of Jesus is powerful enough and precious enough to save all who would come to Him. In John chapter 6 and verse number 37, the Bible says, all that the Father, this is Jesus speaking, all that the Father gives me shall come to me, and to him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast him out. No other blood can hold the key to life. Only this, the blood of Christ, is truly enough. God's blood was enough back then, and God's blood is enough today. And I know what some like to say. It just doesn't seem right that a little blood can do all of that. Well, God's blood was precious. So then the question becomes, preacher, if I become a saved person, will His blood keep me saved? Satan is constantly seeking trainees to enroll in his program of sin. His program of evil is a big program, if you will, church. This program is easy to get into, but I'll tell you, it's hard to get out of. Many think and feel, because I've only sinned one time, I'm not a sinner. But as I told you, one time is all it takes to be a sinner. Just one sin and one time being that sinner puts you in the category of being a sin. Well, it was a little sin, preacher. It shouldn't make any difference. God won't notice. But when you think about it, if God knows everything, God knows just what's going on. God knows the inner thoughts of us. God knows what I'm going to think before I even think it. And He knows what you're going to think before you even think it. And there are those who say, well, I can outthink God, because my mind is sharper than God. Our minds are not sharp. Look at the text, if you will. Our minds are not sharper than God. Look at verse 7. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light. Now, who is the He? The He is Jesus Christ. We have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light. Now, what is that saying? That's saying that if we walk like Jesus, walk in His light, then we can be in His light. That's saying that there's nothing better than walking in the light of Jesus. In 1 John chapter, look at verse number 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. We deceive ourselves because we have lied. When we lie, God's word is not in us. Look at verse number 10. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar. And His word, what? Is not in us. I could ask this question this morning if I would, and I probably won't, but maybe on second thought, maybe I would. Is there anyone in here who's perfect? Is there anyone in here who can claim to be perfect? And I'll answer the question before you do. Not one of us. Not one of us. I know some of us think we are. Some of us think we're the best thing since sliced bread. Some of us think that there's no way that I can be considered a sinner. Well, when you just think and you put yourself and say that God, make God out of a liar when you're not walking in the light, you become a sinner. But the blood of Jesus is able to receive us and cleanse us from all of our sins. In his lesson regarding the shepherd and his sheep in John chapter 10, somewhere around about verse number 27, the Bible says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Now, what are we, church? Are we his sheep? If we are his sheep, do we follow him? If we're not following him, are we still his sheep? That's a question to ponder on. I was once his sheep, but I'm not following him now, so am I still his sheep? But then in verse number 28, he said, "I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." And the question becomes, well, why, Jesus? And he answers that question again. He says, "Because my Father which gave them to me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." The blood of Jesus is enough, church. It's enough to save, and it's enough to keep us saved, if we but just allow it to. But we must stay the course. We must stay the course. And sometimes Christians get to the point where they say to themselves, being a Christian is not a glamorous life. Being a Christian is not a happening type life, if you will. Being a Christian means that I can't do what I used to do, although some of us still do. Being a Christian means I can't follow the same crowd that I used to follow. But some of us do. Being a Christian means that I must walk in the light of God, and some of us don't. But if you allow the blood of Jesus to cover you, it will cleanse you from all of your sins, all of your trespasses. It will make everything all right. But you must stay the course. Is His blood, or was His blood, enough? Yes, His blood was enough, and His blood is still enough. His blood is enough that it caused Him to be our substitute. What man on earth could have shed His blood and saved us? And I'll answer that for you very quickly. None. It took heaven and God the Father to come up with a plan to save mankind. And it took Jesus to become that sacrifice of that plan that God came up with. In Titus chapter 2 and verse number 14, Christ our Savior is our Savior, but who He gave Himself for us that we might be redeemed, that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people. And Christians are peculiar. And I mean that in the Christian way too. Although some of us are peculiar in other ways too. But I'm talking about the Bible way. We are peculiar people because that's the way we were raised up. My blood would not have been enough. Your blood would not have been enough. Even if we put all of our blood and combined it together, it would not have even come close to being enough. Because we don't have precious blood. Oh, it's precious to us. Because without it, I'm not living. I mean, I'm dying if I don't have my blood. And if that blood that I have in my body is not purified or not well blood, then I'm still sick. In the very familiar text to all Christians of John chapter 3 and verse number 16, and you all know it, we know it was necessary in that text, and we can see three things that was needed in order to save mankind. Number one, it took a loving God, and God loved the world that so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And number two, He had a begotten Son. And number three, we must have belief in Him. A substitute. What is a substitute this morning, church? A substitute is something or someone that replaces something else. Isn't that right? A substitute is a fill-in or a replacement. When you go out and you buy, say you buy a small appliance, a toaster, and that toaster doesn't work, you have to look for a substitute, don't you? You have to look for a replacement. You have to look for another one that works better, works and when this one doesn't work. And that's what Jesus became for us. He became sin that we might live. And if you notice about the blood, what the blood of Christ means in Colossians 1, around about verse number 20, the Bible says, having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself. By Him, whether they be things in earth or in heaven. Reconcile means that things have to be adjusted. If you talk to an accountant, he knows what reconciliation means. It means that it has to be adjusted or it has to be set in order. And the blood of Christ on His cross did that. He reconciled man to God. This is why the blood of Jesus can save those who will come to Him. God has never liked sin. I'll tell you that up front. God has never liked sin. If God doesn't like sin, guess what, church? Some of us are in big trouble. But the blood of Jesus brought man back to God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 21, the Bible says, He has made Him, that Him is Jesus, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Now, I know there are still many folk who won't allow themselves to be washed in the blood of Christ. But when I think about it, if I could but just offer them a little bit of insight of what may be in their future. And I'm not a mind reader. And I can't predict the future. But I do know this. If one continues to live, he or she is going to get old. You can't continue to live and not get old. I know many of us would like to. But you can't continue to live and not get old. When you're 20, you don't think about you're going to get 50 one day. But you hope. I would hope you hope. But if you get old, let me tell you about some things that may happen in your life. When you continue to live and you get old, there's going to be some dark hours brought on by old age. Old age brings many problems, church. It brings sickness. It brings aches and pains in places where you never thought you would get an ache or a pain. It brings aches and pains in places you've never even dreamed of. It brings disappointments. Disappointments can come from your children. It can come from your spouse. And you can expect it to come from on the job. That's automatic. And when you think about it, there's this new word that we've been using for a few years now. It's called stress. As you get older, stress becomes higher and higher, or it gets more and more in your life. Stress may sometimes cause you to sing out the song, I believe I can fly. And some people have attempted to fly because they believe they could fly. And guess what happened to them when they jumped out of a window? They realized, I can't fly. I don't have wings. But the blood of Christ, if you'll allow yourself to be covered by the blood of Christ, Even though in your life you have these things happen, my God, the God that I serve and the God that you can serve if you get yourself right with Him, the God that we all can serve if we get right with Him, my God can grant you strength to bear some of those disappointments, some of those aches and some of those pains. He can bear you in the struggle that you may be going through. And I know that if you live in this life, you're going to have some struggles because Job said so. He said, man that is born of a woman is but a few days and he's full of trouble. That means that trouble is going to come in your life. Oh, you may not have it today, but you just hang around till tomorrow. You're going to get some troubles in your life. He may not take away the problems, but He can help us to make it through the problems that we're going through. And somebody said, well, preacher, I tell you something. If I pray and ask Him, I want Him to take the problems away. But I tell you something. Sometimes when you got to realize that if you got a problem, you'll understand it better if you allow if God allows the problem to fester in you. Not fester and get infected or anything, but fester so that you can know that God is able and He'll take them away whenever He gets ready. His blood was and is enough to make Him the just for the unjust. Look at the text again. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Oh, that's something we need to think about. One with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. That every sin that you can come up with, Christ can cure you by His blood, by being washed in His blood. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But then verse number 9 sets it all in order. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You bring it up, God can cleanse it from you. His blood can wash away all of your troubles and all of your trials and all of your sins and all of your heartaches and all of your disappointment and everything that can come up in your life. The blood of Christ was and is enough to make enough for a person to, He lost His life that we may gain ours through eternal life. His blood was and is enough to cause Him to leave heaven that we may be able to get to heaven. Isn't that something? He had to leave heaven so that we may be able to get to heaven. When you think about it, that's a bold move for anybody. And I thank God that He left heaven, because had He not left heaven, He wouldn't have came to this earth and died on the cross, that our sins may be washed away, that our sins may be cleansed away. Isn't that right, church? Jesus is a true example of that new term people like to use now, pay it forward. Because Jesus paid it well ahead of time. Jesus paid it forward. He truly can help anyone and everyone who asks for His help. And if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I tell you something about Jesus having the power of His blood. We sung the song a few minutes ago. There's power in the blood. But do you realize just how much power there is in the blood? I can't wash you clean. I can stab myself and bleed from here to the back door. It wouldn't do no good. But just one drop of the blood of Christ cleanses us from all of our sin. Isn't that right, church? So when you think about it, the blood of Christ is very precious. The blood of Christ is very dear it should be very dear to all of us as Christians. The blood of Christ is the only thing that can cleanse us. It's the only thing that was and is enough to cleanse us from all of our sins. And I can't tell you the physical makeup of His blood. I didn't like a lot of the biology classes and things when I went to school, so I know I can't tell you anything about the medical part of it. But one thing I do know, I know that what the biblical part of it says. And the biblical part of it says, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another in the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanse us from all sin. But if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I keep reading that because I can't impress upon you enough that you need to go into the blood, come and meet the blood of Jesus Christ. And somebody said, well, if I meet the blood, will everything be all right in your life? Well, everything will probably be better. It depends on how you define all right. Now, if you say it'll be all right if I can get $100 million, you might not get that. So it might not be all right with you. But if somebody else said, well, it'll be all right if I didn't have this this ailment that I have, and that ailment becomes cured and it's all right with you, right? So you see, being all right can go from one end to the other of the spectrum. But the blood of Jesus Christ, when we're talking about sin, will cleanse us all if we allow it to. And I remember reading in the Bible before about one man. One man who said, "Lord, I've been to you several times and asked you to take away this problem that I have." And the Lord told him, "My grace is sufficient. I'll take care of it, but I won't remove it," in other words. So you can get by with some things that many of us don't think we can get by with. But the blood of Christ can cleanse us from all of our sins. And when the blood, when we get into the watery grave of baptism, and the blood commingles with the water, and I've told you before, I don't know the exact chemistry, but all I know is the Bible said that it will wash away our sins. When we get baptized, we get baptized for the remission of sin. That means the adjustment or the taking away of all of our sins. Isn't that right? But then there are those others who say, "Well, that's impossible." I've met them. You met them. Some of us have them in our family. I just don't believe that. I just don't believe anything like that is possible. Well, it don't make any difference what you believe. You've got to believe what's in God's Word. And if God's Word says it, you can't debate it. You shouldn't debate it on any account or any fashion. "Well, he didn't really mean that. What I think he meant," that's your problem. We start thinking. We can't analyze God's Word. We can interpret it, but we can't analyze it. And wonder why he put that in there. Some of us are going to be knocking at God's door one day, and that's the question we're going to be asking. "Lord, why did you put that in there? I don't understand why you did that." And it doesn't make any difference whether you understand it or not. All you need to do is do it. Follow it, in other words. But the blood of Christ. When I think about how important blood is. When I think about the preciousness of blood. When I think about the blood is the life-saving and the life-giving effect or chemical in our bodies. When I think about the little blood that I have, and you know, I went to the doctor the other day and they draw blood and I don't like the needles. I thought about it. I asked her, "Do you have to take so much?" "I need all I've got." But I think about how precious this little blood is that I've got. And then I think about, to me it's precious, but Jesus' blood was more precious than my blood and or your blood. Your blood can't wash me clean. My blood can't wash you clean. But the blood of Christ is able to cleanse us from all sin. But then, when you get down to it, there are those who would say, "Well, it requires a lot for me to come to Christ." And it does require something for you to come to Christ. You have to come by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and then being baptized. And when you go into this water behind me, oh, it may be a little cold. I'm not going to tell you the water is 95 degrees. It may be a little chilly. But that's not what going in the water is all about. Brother Jackson can stand it. So you should be able to stand it too, because he's usually standing there waiting for you to get in. And he's not saying nothing but just waiting. And somebody said, "Well, as soon as I got in there, that water was so cold, I started to back out." Well, if you want to be washed, your sins to be washed and to be cleansed from your sin, you got to go down in the water. We can't take a 2-liter bottle and sprinkle no water on you. That's not enough. You can't be immersed in a 2-liter bottle. You've got to go down in the watery grave of baptism. Jesus did it. Read the account about it. John baptized him. He went to John to be baptized. And when he came up out of the water, the Bible says that a light from heaven shone and that God said, "This is my beloved Son, whom in him I am well pleased." Isn't that what the Bible says, church? Oh, yeah. But then, I remember that when he went to the cross, all of his disciples, they fled from him. But one stood at the base of the cross and he stayed there. And one came to the base of the cross with his mother. And Jesus said, even though he was dying from his cross, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. But then from the cross, he questioned the validity. Did God know what he was doing? Because why hast thou forsaken me? But yet he still died. Some unnamed soldier in the Bible pierced him in his side, and out of his side came blood and water. And the blood and the water became the fact or the basis for the church of Christ. If you're not a member of the church of Christ, you need to become a member of the Lord's body. And I've already told you how you become a member, but what about those members who are members but are not really members? They have walked astray. They have went back, and I heard Brother Jackson mention it this morning. It's like a dog in Proverbs, where it's like a dog who has turned to his own vomit. You know what that's like? Isn't that an awful thought? My dog I don't have a dog, but my dog throws up and then turns around and licks it up. Now, I'm not trying to make this up and spoil your appetite or anything, but that's what the Bible says. I'm only telling you what it says. And if it says, if that looks bad to you, think how bad it looks to God after he's done all of this for us. He sent his son down here to hang on a lonely cross. He sent his son down here to die because not that his son was guilty of anything, but we were the guilty party. But yet he sent his son down here. So it looks bad. But you can come back to the church even though you've strayed away. Even though you've left your first love. Oh yeah. You can come back to the church. You can come back to the church. You can ask God to forgive you for whatever you've done. And then you can walk forward. And I know there are some that are ashamed to come down front. I know that. But you know something? If you are ashamed now, the Lord is going to be ashamed of us before his Father. If you are ashamed now to say that I'm a Christian, I know some of us just like to be Christians on Sunday. I understand that. We are one day a week Christian. And some of us are not even good at that because we're 11:30, 12 o'clock Christians. We're Christians that don't know how to be Christians. We're Christians that have lost our way. And we need to find our way. So you come forward, ask the church to pray for you. Now, I don't know who you can ask in the church that their prayers are going to reach God's ear. But God hears all prayer. But now if you'll act, I don't know who to tell you whose prayer God will act on. But somebody in the church can pray and help you out, I'm sure of that much. But you have to come forward. You have to request it. All you have to do, and just in a moment, Brother McReynolds is going to be coming here and singing the song of invitation. All you have to do is march down the aisle, either the middle or the two side aisle. And if you just raise your hand and you're ashamed to come, we'll come get you. We'll walk with you. We'll help you to get down here. If you can't make it on your own, we'll help you to come down. But if you can make it on your own, but you don't want to make it on your own, raise your hand and we'll still come get you. This is what we need to do to be cleansed from all of our sins through the precious blood of our Savior in Jesus Christ. His blood was and his blood still is enough as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.